Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. New Covenant Christian Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. Our Sunday gathering is at 10 a.m. We trust you are blessed as you pore over God's Word with us.
Oh, the seas lift up their voices, and the skies pound their big drums.
Hey, for those of you who were praying for us this week, thank you so much. There were several who went down to Colorado Springs to a conference. It's actually a training and equipping conference on a particular form of caregiving called formational prayer. Hey, if you were a part of that, would you raise your hand? Caden's back there, you too. Great. Melanie was also there, and some other folks from the community, a large contingent from Up and Divide as well. And I find it fascinating what God's doing over the last several years as he's equipping people to really facilitate some healthy connection with Jesus in the place of some real hardship. And, you know, folks are in need. I mean, there's no shortage, right? I mean, if we told our stories, we would be in awe. Not only with the magnitude of some of the stuff that you've walked through, but just the glory of the Lord that has given you strength in the midst of some very difficult times. And one of the things that the formational prayer modality offers is a way to position yourself to encounter Jesus like for real. And to allow the Holy Spirit, who is referred to as the counselor, to be the one who walks with you on a journey of healing and restoration. And so I want to just thank all of you who took the time, effort, money, you know, to go to that. I am praying into what's going to happen next as far as momentum and training. I would love to actually, and this is me talking out loud with thoughts rolling around in my heart, my head. You can pray with me on how this might get solidified. I would love to actually facilitate a 16-week training for people to get more deeply established in this modality of praying for people. And so I'm looking at that perhaps at the beginning of the year, and I would love to just have your prayers associated with that. And so it was super great. Would you say it was good? Would you say it was good, guys? Yeah, Jesus. Oh, Chris is there too. Good. Jesus met us. Hey, listen, take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians 13:14. I'm going to take about a half an hour here. I actually have a lot more content than I have time, because I really do think that what we're going to talk about here is worthy of just some healthy unpacking and just some time spent. So again, I mentioned this in the prayer, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. I mean, that's a prayer, and this is what I'm actually looking at as a launching pad. It kind of came to me serendipitously as I walked through the house. Tiffany just simply quoted that. She was reading a Bible study that she and Jackie were doing with a lot of you ladies, and it was in one of the readings, and she just said it, and it's just like, boom. It was about a month ago. It just hit me really in a good place, like, wow, there's something to this. It's more than just a signing off, sincerely yours. A lot of times when Paul would write letters, he would have a scribe who would dictate, you know, and so he would be speaking and then someone would be writing. And then at the end of his letters, he would often take the page himself and he would, in his own handwriting, write those last few sentences. And so this is his heart for a people that he's been walking with, who he has great affection for. These are not distant folk. These are people that he has walked through some really difficult things with. And this is his prayer for them, that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Here we have the Trinity represented in his prayer, that these distinct aspects of who God is, Jesus of grace, the Father of love, the Holy Spirit who brings fellowship and is with us. I mean, all of these, his prayers that they would all, that we would, it's like, it's not like begging God to show up. You know, that's like me saying, you know, God needs no invitation. I mean, really what it is a prayer that we would be aware of these attributes of God and that we would be in fellowship and relating to God in a very personal way in these three things. So when we begin to think about and talk about the first one here, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to start at the entrance of our relationship with the Trinity. I mean, grace is the entry point. Because, I mean, the good news of the gospel. How many of you ever heard that phrase? The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is what gospel means, right? The good news. Is it you have sinned and fall short of the glory of God?
No.
No, that's when you toss the softball up. And then the good news is what comes right afterwards. And the good news is that Jesus Christ, while you were yet in your sin, made a way of salvation for you and I through his atoning blood that was sacrificed on the cross. I mean, he was sacrificed on the cross for us. It's coming through that. It's coming also through the power of his resurrection, the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and the authority of his ascension as he is seated in heavenly places making intercession for us. Guess what? That's the good news, that while we were yet sinners, Christ did that for us. And that's what we often refer to as his grace. But, you know, we have to remember a few things, because sometimes when we start talking about grace, we can go down to some cul-de-sacs and just start going in circles, or we can get lost in some tall weeds when it comes to what does the Bible really mean when it talks about grace. And I would just want to echo a couple of things here, because when we were at this healing care seminar for formational prayer this week, you know, the main voice that we heard from was a gentleman named Terry Wardle, and he's written several books. And one of the things I love about his teaching is it's pretty well rounded. I mean, he addresses a lot of different things. I mean, everything from our right standing with God and comes into this place of grace. And so what I love about this idea is that the transaction for your salvation was actually between God and Jesus, not between you and God. In the law, the onus of a right standing with God is on you under the law. People who live their life deluded by their, you know, their ideas that their capacity to be righteous, their self-righteousness, is what's needed to kind of take salvation to that full effect. It's like they believe that Jesus did almost everything. Like Jesus plus your righteousness equals salvation. And if that's a delusion, or it's so subtle, I mean, it's really, what was that sweet candy in Narnia that was given?
Turkish delight.
What was it?
Turkish delight.
That's the Turkish delight. It's like, the bait is that there's an equation that if you, then God. Like, there's this equation, like, Jesus plus you equals salvation. If you, then God. I mean, under the grace of Jesus Christ, there is no transaction between you and God. That transaction has been made between God and Jesus, because God so loved you, right, that he sent his son. And because Jesus so loved you that he submitted to the cross. And it's because God first loved you and I that now we have the capacity. So because God, then I. It's like, because God first loved me, now I have the capacity to love. Because God first, then I. It's this initiation from God. And there's this real important place that we have to land where we understand that there's no transaction that I have to initiate in my relationship with God. This is the grace of God. This is the initiation of God. It's his mercy. And while I know that there's no transaction that I have to initiate, there is an exchange. And so I do have a response. And there's this life exchange that we're offered. And Jesus starts it out. He basically is saying this: my life for your life. And then in response, remember, our repentance is this response where God initiates this exchange. And our part is to surrender into the invitation by receiving the grace offered to us. Remember, our repentance doesn't convince God to accept us. What our repentance does is it ushers us into this life exchange that he initiated. I mean, Romans 2:4 says it's the kindness that leads us to repentance. It's God's kindness that initiates our repentance. And so our repentance does not convince God to accept us. He's already done that. Our repentance ushers us into this life exchange where first Jesus says, my life for yours. And then in response, we get to say, my life for yours. I mean, Paul got it. I mean, he definitely got it when he talked about this in Galatians 2:20. But I want to first tell you about my life message out of the book of Titus. This has been a verse that has been undergirding me for decades, and I want to have you turn to Titus 3:4. We're talking about the kindness of God. We're talking about his kindness that leads us to repentance. We're talking about our response in repentance of turning from into that is going to usher us into this life exchange with Jesus. And it really, really gets encapsulated here in Titus 3:4 through 7. Says, when God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, which basically means when God our Savior was born in a manger and lived a life that brought him to the cross, and he was willing to sacrifice himself, willing to trust the Father that the Holy Spirit would in fact raise him from the dead. And then in his resurrection, power and life, he has made that ascension where he is interceding for us and he is our mediator for eternity between us and God. That exchange was established and settled through Christ. When the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. Not because of the righteous things that we had done, but because of what? His mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us new birth and new life. You're going to want to really highlight new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit onto us through Jesus Christ, our Savior, because of his grace that he declared us righteous and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. So there is this beautiful exchange that happens. And it's because he first. And it was freely given. And we get to receive it. And we get to be ushered into this life now that is a life exchange with Jesus. And like I said, Paul confidently says it in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life that I live now in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. And 2 Corinthians 5:15 reminds us that Jesus died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. So this life exchange then is a response. The life that we live for God is a response. So the rock that we stand on in this teaching of grace is that the life of Jesus offered to us, not because of the good things that we had done, but because of his mercy, he establishes us in a new nature. And that's the thing about Titus that really made it clear that we have, you know, new life, new birth. And so this new nature really is just a fantastic reminder. It's not even a reminder. I mean, it's the bedrock. Okay, I'm going to pause here for a second. I could roll with this and disengage from you. I don't want to do that. This is our story. This is the big story that we have been invited into. we're not the main characters, as John Eldridge puts it. You know, we're not the main characters. We're the, you know, that's a small story. This is a big story. And we have a leading support role in the story. And God initiates this story. And he invites us into it. I mean, the contrast that we see in Galatians 6:15, I'll read it out of the New Living Translation. It says, it doesn't matter whether you have been circumcised or not. And that just sums it up. I mean, it doesn't matter if you follow all of the righteous requirements of the law of Moses. What counts, this is out of the Bible, what counts is whether you have been transformed into a new creation. That's what counts. New creation theology is established in this life exchange that we have by the grace of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, a very familiar passage to us all, but I want to go ahead and read it here. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. He has established your nature and your identity by his grace, and we just simply get to receive it. Freely given, freely received. That's the grace. That's the message. And these new things have come, and you are a new creation, and your nature has been established in Jesus Christ because your spirit, little s, your spirit, which was dead, is now alive. That's the new life. That's the new creation. And it has been made alive. This is a fantastic passage out of 1 Peter 1:23. You've been born of the Spirit. And so basically what he's saying this is that you have been born again, not of the seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring word of God. Of course, we remember John 1:14. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the Word. So this Word that establishes us, this Word that really brings life to us, is Jesus. And he is the one who has brought us grace and truth. And in verse 16 of John 1, it says, for of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. So I just want to talk about the never-ending, extravagant wave after wave of God's grace. And you know, I didn't dig up the passage, but I want to just point you to some thoughts here about the fact that the way that you initially come into relationship with the Trinity, that's the same way you live your whole life. It's not this deal that once you're in, now you have to shift gears and eat the Turkish delight and think that if I, then God. No, that equation is throughout all eternity. Because God, now we get to. We have the privilege of. We step into this exchange life with Jesus. All right? For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. That's John 1:17. So let me briefly get something out of the way right away. God's grace works. God's grace works. Which is a little play on words, because it's not just God's grace ushers you into salvation, but God's grace is at work. God's grace is working in and through your life. God's grace works. What doesn't work is a hybrid form of grace that we in the West have adopted that is really just more of a snare than it is. It's not a liberating grace. It's like this idea that grace could remove my responsibility as a believer to live according to the Spirit. That's a false grace. Like, grace never gives you permission to live according to the flesh. Grace only ushers you into a life fully realized according to the Spirit. And so grace enables the believer to live according to the Spirit. And we know that the mind controlled by the Spirit is life, and the mind controlled by the former nature of sin, which what I call, you know, the residual echoes of your former nature. Because remember, all things have been made new, the old is gone. There's this teaching, and I've heard it plenty, and I was reminded of it this week. There's this teacher of this dual nature theology where you have both the sinful nature and the new nature in Christ living simultaneously inside of you. And the thought is that whichever dog you feed the most is the one that's going to rise up and have dominion over your life. Listen, there is no dual nature in you. If you are a Christian, then you have been made new. Your nature has been established in the grace of Jesus, and you are a new creation. The old is gone. Now, the old is no longer in control of you. However, we give it license sometimes because it echoes. It echoes in our patterns of thinking. It echoes in our, you know, former like responses and reactions, and these things that are a part of our history continue to have life as we give them life. And that's why formational prayer in this form of ministry, where we let Jesus come in and not rewrite our past, not at all, but rewrite the neural pathways that have been established in our ways of thinking by giving us new episodic emotion-laden experiences with him, fresh and new. So the very thing that established that old pattern of thinking in your past, that very thing is online until it has been overtaken by the grace of God. And there's no amount of self-discipline that's going to get that deep emotion-laden episodic memory to go offline. There's no amount of scripture memorization that's going to get that offline unless God meets you in the scripture, unless you come to the word and you actually meet Jesus and you have an encounter with the living word as grace and truth, and he impacts you. So anyway, you hear me, I'm getting a little bit ramped up here. I like this because it's a hope that we have, right? It's our hope for transformation. I mean, when we read the scripture and it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, it doesn't mean put more information into your brain hole and hope that everything works out and you'll change. No, change and transformation are two different things. And what we're asking God to do is come to our essence of who we are. Connect with us at the heart level. Let our minds understand what the truth is of Jesus and how kind he is and how much he loves us. Let us really connect with that. That's what's going to bring transformation. That's what's going to help us repent into our truest nature. Because as Terry Wardle would say, sin is any thought or action that is contrary to who you really are in Christ. Sin is any thought or action that is contrary to who you are in Christ. So your behavior can be sinful. Even as a Christian who has been given the gift of grace and you're established in your new nature, you can still have sin in your life. And the effects of sin in your life can usher in a compounded wounds and trauma and pain, not only to you, but to the people that you love. And I love this illustration that, you know, sin is like the garbage that attracts the rats. Demons love to harass and oppress the people of God. And they really like hanging out in your trash. So yeah, we can address the spiritual influence, foul spirits. We can address all that. I would much rather take out the trash. And so, you know, if you're harassed, if you're, you know, oppressed, if you're experiencing a lot of spiritual conflict and warfare in your life, then please go on a journey with Jesus and ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, is there anything in me where I'm living contrary or I'm thinking contrary to my truest nature in Christ? Then you have to pay attention, and you have to do business with God, and you have to ask him. And again, this asking isn't just help me grip my teeth harder. It's really, Jesus, come into this with me. Help me know, what is this linked to? Why is this even a thing in my life? Because I can promise you, there's a treasure attached to that. And if it's just your life's mission to avoid any hint of, you know, like difficulty, brokenness, hardship that has dysfunctional behavior attached to it, then you're going to miss the treasure that's assigned. It's like this. I was told this by a guy that was here this week. His name is Pete Kuiper, a different Pete. Psychologist who actually lives in Buena Vista, and he says, look, you know, pain and emotional upheaval and all this kind of stuff. It's like a buoy that floats on the surface where the treasure hunters have tied a rope to the shipwreck, but their hope isn't that they would just find the shipwreck. Their hope is that they would find the treasure in the shipwreck.
Oh, that's good.
You know, so pay attention to this stuff. And don't just try to cut the line. Don't just try to, like, alleviate the pain. Don't just try to, like, behavior mod yourself out of really taking time to meditate on this with the Lord and let Him bring you into the deep place. We don't like to go to our shipwrecks. They remind us of times past that were very painful for us. And yet, there is a treasure there. And I get this out of Isaiah when he says, I will give you the treasures of darkness. Darkness is those mysterious places of the heart. And riches hidden in secret places. So anyway, back to the page here. We know that all things are permissible. But not everything is beneficial, right? So if we want the harassment and demonic oppression to diminish, then we have to remember who we are and we have to take out some trash. We have to repent. And we have permission in the grace of God to do whatever you want. And it will not jeopardize your new nature in Christ. You hear that? You can be a straight up fool. And you can still be established in Christ. And your true nature, your identity, is established in Christ. But if that's the way you want to live, then I would argue, really, that you've never experienced the kindness of God. Now, I'm saying that, and I don't mean that in a harsh way. I just mean, like, there's an invitation to experience the kindness of God so that when you meet Him in those difficult places of your life where you have repetitive sin or you have these habitual behaviors that are, sabotaging you and they're contrary to who you really are, you can meet the kindness of the Lord in those places. So that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's just a journey of trusting Him more fully and entering into His kindness more deeply so that He can really do business with you in those deep places of your heart so that you can come online, really. You can just be who God's created you to be more fully and without, without the striving. So anyway, I just wanted to say all that. It's something that's important for us to hear, because while we do have permissions, not everything is beneficial. But if we do act, contrary to who we really are, it doesn't change who we really are in God. It just wrecks our lives sometimes. Seriously. May the grace of Jesus Christ be with you. The grace of Jesus Christ is what establishes you and helps you find yourself. The grace of Jesus Christ is what enables you to be yourself. And the grace of Jesus Christ is what enables you to give of yourself. So having this relationship with the grace of Jesus Christ opens up all sorts of new horizons for us. Now, you guys know what the word grace, like in the Greek, what that word is? Anybody know what that word is? We have a school, it's a Bible school that's named after it, right up the hill. Charis, right? And you guys know what charis means. It doesn't just mean grace. Actually, what it means is divine gift. Divine gift. It's God's gift that you enter into life with Christ and find salvation. It's God's gift that you enter into a deeper wholeness as you're being conformed into the image of Jesus, who you really are. Remember, it is God who is at work within you, right? To both will and to do His good pleasure. So it's the grace of Jesus Christ that transforms us from the inside out. That's Philippians 2:13. It's God's gift. This grace, this charis, the divine gift, it's God's gift where we find our abiding place with Jesus. You and him and you, that witness, that life exchange is growing and it's, becoming more natural for you. And it's God's gift that you're empowered by the Holy Spirit to animate the life of Christ. That's the one I want to land on, because grace isn't just God's in a good mood, and he turns a blind eye to how messed up you are, and he'll let you come in by the skin of your teeth. No, it's not that at all. It is, he initiates, his kindness draws you in, and for this sake, all right? It's not just so that after we die, we get to go to heaven. It's so that our lives can animate the Holy Spirit. Life of Jesus, and as Paul would pray for that grace to be in you, he would pray that the power of God would be at work, bringing not only transformation, but fruitfulness in your life. And so listen to these verses as I kind of wrap this up. These are verses, a couple of them out of the book of Acts. And I want you to listen to it with the lens that the grace of God is what is empowering the believer. The grace of God is what has established them. It's what is sustaining them. It's what is empowering them. It's what's giving them the capacity. And so listen to these verses out of Acts. With great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and abundant grace was upon all of them. So there's this dynamic grace that was resting with them, that gave them the ability to testify of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ with what? With great power. You remember when Jesus spoke and people were just like, in wonder, they're just like, wow, this guy speaks with such authority. He doesn't speak like the scribes and the Pharisees do. He speaks with such authority and with such power. And you remember that Paul, he says, look, when I come to you, I'm not just going to speak to you with persuasive words, but with a demonstration of God's power. You need to know that that's the grace of God at work in his life that enables him to communicate God with words and in action with power. Now listen to this one out of Acts. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. So it's not just that God had grace on Stephen. It was like, yes, and the grace of Jesus Christ being with Stephen. That's why Paul prayed this to the church in Corinth. He's like, look, this is what's going to sustain you, and it's what's going to cause you to excel. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Married to the love of the Father, found in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And so receiving the grace of Jesus Christ gives you the ability to live beyond your means. In your weakness and limitations, when you go down to the depths of your shipwreck, I mean, Paul was there. I mean, Paul actually, he's a great example of someone like any one of us who can have such incredible heights with God and go deep into a valley. Like, he was taken to a third heaven, and then there was a thorn in his flesh, and he prayed for that thorn to be removed. And what was the answer? Where did he land? In that low place of his affliction, he landed in the reality that God, your grace is sufficient for me. Your grace will sustain me even in my weakness. In fact, if I'm going to boast about anything, it's going to be about my weakness, because in my weakness, then your strength is made complete. By what? By the grace that was given to him in his low valley. So our goal isn't to avoid the valleys. I mean, yeah, I have preferences, right? I don't want to be in the valley. I don't want to be in a hard place. Man, I'd love to eat the Turkish delight and think that if I, then God will bless me and I will have this blessed life that never experiences pain. But that's not the reality of it. In fact, Jesus promised that we're going to have hardship, right? And so in that place, Jesus is to meet us. And what sustains us? The grace. So, grace ushers us into an abundant life, even in our weakness and suffering, that we get to live now. All right? That's it. That's all I wanted to say. Look, I'm just pretty excited about the message of God's grace. And if I'm going to err, I'm going to err on the side of grace. I never wanted to be counted among one who was referred to as an enemy of the cross. which are people who buy into that equation, if I, then God. They're actually referred to in Scripture as the enemy of the cross. Yikes. I love the cross. I hate it and I love it at the same time. What I love even more is the power of the resurrection, which is ushered in the grace of Jesus for us. So I want to invite you to stand and just put your hands out like it's Christmas. Grace upon grace to you. The Lord's reminding me of when the wall was down and there was rubble and all the stones were just stacked in this like heap. Was it Nehemiah? Came up and just looked at those rocks and said, grace, grace. A declaration of grace that would bring restoration. So I bless each of you with a declaration of God's grace. And I want to just declare that the grace of God is going to restore not only your own personal pile of rubble, whatever that looks like for you, and however that's been in your life, I want to speak hope, the grace and the mercy of God into every life situation here. And I want to bless you with the realization and just an affirmation, really, that God is at work. So it's very personal, but it's also, it extends beyond you. I'm reminded also, this is coming to me all in real time, like I'm reminded that we are living stones being built together as a dwelling place of God by His Holy Spirit. So there's this community of living stones that at times looks like a pile of rubble. You know, it's like, where's the connections? Where's the community? Where's the life on life interactions that are going to bring God's dream alive in our existence here? So I want to speak grace, grace to that. That there would be a restoration that would happen citywide and in this region with the living stones of God who are being built together as a dwelling place of God by His Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we just want to simply say thank you. Can you let those words just start to rise up out of you? Whatever it is that you're thankful for and the grace of God being expressed through your life to you, let's just go ahead and let words come out and let them fill the atmosphere around your heart and your head. These are real things that God has done for you. Thank you, God. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for initiating this. Thank you for sustaining me. Thank you for meeting me in dark, lowly places. Thank you for establishing me. Thank you for giving me strength and weakness. Thank you for helping in times of trouble. Thank you for bringing me through the door into a place of hope. Thank you for restoring broken relationships. Thank you for your mercy. So, Lord, it's fitting that we started our time together with the worship team ushering us into a place of resting and receiving, because that's really what this message is about. Our posture is to rest and receive in the grace that you offer to us, and we say thank you. We say thank you. We receive it, and we ask for more. This is where the desires of your heart for more of God's grace being manifested in your life gets to come. Just asking for more. Just assign that to specific things in your life. Lord, I need more grace in this relationship. Dot, dot, dot. Fill in the blanks. Lord, I need your grace in this job situation. Dot, dot, dot. Fill in the blanks. Whatever grace you need from the Lord, go ahead and just ask Him right now. There's this atmosphere right now of intercession and prayer and making our requests known to God. I believe that the Lord is fully attentive right now to you. Just go ahead and just let that come. Lord, these prayers are like incense that are rising up to your throne of grace. And I pray, as Paul prayed, Lord, that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ would be with each person here, that they would experience the tangible grace, the divine gift of everything that you give, Lord, all the blessings that are yes and amen in Christ Jesus, that that grace would come to each person in increasing measure, grace upon grace, upon grace, more, Lord, this unending wave after wave of your extravagant grace. Lord, we need it. Lord, it's not enough that we would settle for yesterday's grace. Like, yes, thank you, and more, please. More, please. I need your grace. I need your sustaining grace. We all do. And we thank you for pouring it out into our lives through Jesus Christ. We receive it. We carry it with us. We ask for more. And I pray this all in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, if you're curious about ways that you can more deeply be involved with this community, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@me.com or like our Facebook page. Thank you and God bless.